So I'm going to talk about learning the Metta Bhavana, because we're looking at the Metta Bhavana. A couple of people last night said they wanted to learn more about meditation, and also it's going to tell you. I wanted to talk about my practice, and that'll tell you a bit more about me, and then anything that I say or do over the retreat, that'll put it in a bit of context. And just talk a bit about Buddhism and what I think. And you've got four of us on the team. You've got each other. You've got loads of books in the bookshop, books in the library. So there's lots of points of access to come into understanding what the Dharma is and what it means to different people. And that for me has always been really important, how other people practice and what things other people struggle with and what ways other people have into it. So, about this time, 17 years ago, Christmas Eve in fact, I was living in London and I drove over to my older sister's house, and our parents were there, and I was going to be going away on a retreat, but I didn't want to tell them that I was going on a retreat because it sounded weird. And so this was 1992. John Major was in power. Just give you a little flashback. We were at war in Iraq. There you go. There weren't Buddhas being used in makeover programs. There weren't Buddhas being used in the little advert sponsorships of Coronation Street. It was all a bit Eastern and strange. I really wasn't sure about it. So I'd come across the Dharma in India. Fair enough, it was India. And I wanted to have a break over Christmas. I couldn't afford the Caribbean. I'd been to a Buddhism class in Manchester. There was a little leaflet that said, "Do you want to be happier? Do you want to be clearer?" I thought, well, why not? And went along to the classes. Well, I started going along, but they're all a bit beardy-weirdy, frankly. And you know, nice people, hearts in the right place. Dreadful clothes. I was an actress, and I was training to be an actress, and, you know, happiness was one thing, but actually success was much more important. But as I moved to London via a series of incidents which I'll publish in later novels, and I was feeling a bit stressed out, and it was Christmas, and thought, okay, well, I'll try again. Let's look at, there's a beautiful, beautiful advert in the back of Time Out. Looked really lovely. Anyway, so I booked on, and I was nervous. I was going on my own, and so I phoned up the London Buddhist Centre and said, hello, I want to come on this retreat. Will it be alright? I'm coming on my own. And they went, yeah, it'll be fine. So I thought, well, they sound quite positive. You know, why should I doubt them? So I packed my stuff, wasn't sure what to wear on a Buddhist retreat. I think I remember taking something silk for Christmas Day in case we dressed up, and quite a lot of thermals. And I was sharing with someone who brought some brandy, that was interesting. Sure no one's done that here. Anyway, so, and I think I had got a gold necklace that I got for my 18th, and I thought, oh, I'll give it to my sister to look after. And I said to her, look, I know this is weird, Tina, but I'm going on this Buddhist retreat, and hopefully I'll see you on the 27th, and, you know, I hope it'll be right. And my parents were Catholic, well, my mum still is, my dad's dead, but, so there's a little bit of tension between religions. And I'm telling you loads of stuff I didn't mean to, but when you stop being a Catholic, well, I stopped being a Catholic, they said, oh, you've lost your faith. That's the phrase that was used. It wasn't, you have made a rational decision in lines of Darwin, and you're free to choose, and good luck. It was, well, you've lost your faith. So I, possibly naively, thought I had lost my faith. So I wasn't particularly looking for Buddhism. I wasn't looking for a faith, I wasn't looking for a community, I was just looking for a week off, a bit healthy, over Christmas, what the hell. And I drove through freezing fog. I was going to Banbury, and I remember getting to Banbury Cross and it being about there, because the fog was so dense. It was only when I was, I mean, it's not a big cross, it's an old one, it's been there a long time, but it's a landmark. And I was about a foot away from it, and I thought, I really cannot see where I'm going. But luckily, I didn't crash into anybody, nobody crashed into me. So I got there and I pulled up, and I was quite shaky and a bit, what have I done in my little yellow mini? And I walked in with my bag, and I put it down, and there were lots of people around, and it was frosty, slippy, snowy underfoot, and somebody said, hello, and I said, hello, and she said, have you done the practices? And I said, I'm just going to the car, and so I ran back to the car, and I thought, I can't find this, and I realised that I couldn't go home. It had been so horrible driving, it was only going to get darker, so I was bloody stuck there. But I thought, pull yourself together, come on. So I went back in, and I said, yeah, I have done the meta, that thing, yeah, I've done that one. Which is kind of a clue, really. You can't say the name. You're not that familiar, really. And I went into the dining room, and there were people standing with army blankets draped over their coats. So, you know, there you go. That was my first experience. But at that moment, I did say, technically, I have learnt the metta bhavana. I have been taught the metta bhavana. So that was 92.